The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Alleluia. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. You may be seated. It's always a, a little bit odd, at least at first, when you hear this Sunday of the church year, and it's named Jubilate from the antiphon of the introit we sang a few minutes ago, that shout for joy to God all the earth. We just sang with high delight, let us unite, that great hymn. And then Jesus talks about sorrow in the gospel reading. Seems a bit off. But in some ways, it's a bit sobering, not that Jesus is some Debbie Downer telling you to calm down after his resurrection. No, Jesus is risen, your sin is forgiven, and you, even you, share in the resurrection and eternal life. There's reason to rejoice. No, the sobering thing in the gospel reading and today is how Jesus tells you to view life in this veil of tears. As you go about day to day as the people of God, living in this fallen world, living as people who know what it means that the Lord has risen from the grave, but when you look around, you see sin, death at every turn. And so Jesus teaches you, like many things in the Christian life, that there's a now and not yet reality that you live as the baptized people of God. You have joy now, but not yet the fullness of what it means to be in the eternal presence of God. And so you're drawn by your Lord to see who you are living in this world and to see that real joy that you have in Christ, that you have right now, even now, all the while as you're looking to Christ and the eternal life and joy that he gives you and promises is to come. So listen again to what Jesus said in the gospel reading. But before you hear those words again, take note of the context. These words from John 16 that we hear in this gospel reading are from Maundy Thursday. It's the night of the Lord's betrayal when Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'?" Now let's think about that for a minute, what Jesus is saying and the confusion that the disciples had as they're wondering, and they ask that good question. They're good Lutherans, right? What does this mean? What's he saying? He's saying a little while. And this is something that we need to be aware of in our lives in several ways. A little while. Now I learned something the other day that probably all of you have heard for years now. I learned that there's a sub-generation between Generation X and Millennials called the Zennials, and it's people who were born between 1977 and 1985, which Rebecca and I fit into that. Apparently, everybody else knew this and got that memo except for me. Rebecca told me this the other night, and it was earth-shattering. My mind exploded, and I was just like, this makes a lot of sense. Because you have kind of one foot in the door of knowing what it is that I grew up learning how to use rotary phones, right? Or when you say roll down the window, we actually would roll down the window. But I also am very comfortable and know how to use technology. A few weeks ago when I was presenting to the campus ministry groups, I had a presentation on my iPad, but I had paper notes, kind of both of those things, right? But for my generation and those after me, how do we measure time? A little while. It's how long it takes for the little marks on an app to download. How long it takes for your food to get delivered to you, or you order it and then it's given to you. We have very little patience with things. But Jesus is telling us, though, that at first speaking, a little while, when he's talking to them, he's talking about what is coming up in the days ahead. It's going to be a little while as they see him endure the suffering, endure the cross, endure the agony, the mocking, the deriding of men, see his death, and see him placed into the tomb. And that little while, that span of time, though, when you put yourself in that, seems like a great while. That's a lot that goes on at the end of Holy Week. and everything into that culmination of what Jesus had been preparing them for and what he had been promised to do. And so when Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit, the little while was a deafening silence as his body was laid in a tomb and his disciples did not see him. And what did the world think during that little while? Well, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." The world thought Jesus was defeated in that first little while. They thought that as he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, and died on Good Friday, they had taken care of him. The Jewish leaders then wanted a guard at the tomb so that the disciples in their minds wouldn't go steal the body and Jesus rise from, and they say he rose from the dead. And as they said in the gospel account, that fraud, right, that scandal be worse than the first. And when he did really rise from the grave and the guards saw that with their two eyes, what did they try to do? Bribe them. They didn't just try, they bribed them so they wouldn't tell. They were rejoicing when Jesus was dead. And now the death of Jesus is something that is truly good, but there's something in this as well. He really did die. And what about the disciples? Death is reason to weep and lament. Jesus wept outside of the tomb of Lazarus in John 11. He told the disciples, they will weep and lament. And he didn't say, you might. He didn't say, maybe. He didn't say, if you don't have enough faith, you will weep and lament. No, he told them, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. But what happened? Easter came. The crucified Lord was risen from the dead. Sorrow was turned into joy as the tomb was empty, and he appeared to the disciples and the 12, now 11. Mary Magdalene, outside of the tomb, as she was crying, her tears were wiped away as the Lord called out her name. Death was defeated. Jesus is risen. Their joy was the joy of God's peace given to them, even as they were sent out to give this peace. And for 40 days, they saw the Lord before them. The Lord, whom they did not see when he was laid into the tomb, they saw again, and then he ascended into heaven and was hidden from their sight. So they saw him, did not see him, saw him again, and again did not see him. But interestingly enough, Luke's gospel account of the ascension ends with something striking. St. Luke recorded, while he, Jesus, blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So did you catch that? Even as the Lord has ascended into heaven, they, the apostles, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Because there's always something at the end of these little whiles. Joy. And now here you are. You're living in the little while of your life and the time between the Lord's ascension and his return on the last day. So what does Jesus say about you? You're no different. You go through this world with weeping and lament. And when you look around, you see the world rejoicing that it cannot see Jesus. Now, it may not be so obvious as open rejoicing in the streets. Sometimes that happens, though. But you see it nonetheless. You see the subtle remarks, the passive-aggressive comments, the jabs, the way that the Lord and his church are pushed away, are farther and farther from our view, deeper and deeper into the world, what it considers out of touch with life, with society, and relevance. And the devil, likewise, wants joy to be the little while. And he wants sorrow and lament to be those things that no one can take away from you. He wants you to fix your eyes on your sin. He wants you to see death as not defeated. He wants you to doubt of what your Lord says and what he does. He wants whatever can take your trust away from Jesus, who is your crucified and risen Lord from the dead. And your old Adam, that sinful man who still hangs around our neck, he's all too willing and glad to go along with the world and the devil. It also tempts you to look at yourself and not shout for joy. The old man wants to remain in his sin, for he sees no repentance. The old sinful condition wants to hide itself in all things which don't have to face the realities of living in a fallen world by burying itself in whatever it can latch onto, rather than humbling itself and leading not on its own understanding. Bells ring. This is what happens when you have all these different factors on a one service morning. That's okay. It's ringing. And so, that's not a bad hymn. We'll let him get it rather than me try to compete with it. I saw him running around the corner. Yay. See, it was what? A little while. There you go. And so Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full." So the little while of sorrow, Jesus turns into joy. Good Friday always comes before Easter, and labor comes before delivery. And so Jesus said these words to the disciples as he would go to the cross, as he would die, as he would be laid into the tomb and rise again on the third day. And Jesus came to his own and spoke that word of peace be with you. And he gave them that promise that I am with you always to the end of the age. So even as you go through this little while of between your Lord's ascension until he comes again, he doesn't leave you as orphans. And so Jesus makes some comments that are the gospel reading for next Sunday. And what Jesus said, though, occurs before our gospel reading today. So our gospel reading next Sunday in John chapter 16 actually occurs before what our gospel reading today is, if that makes sense. So what we'll hear next week is prior to what we heard today. But there's a reason for that. And so next week you will hear what the disciples already heard. Because at the beginning of John 16, in verse 7 specifically, Jesus says to his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So as you take this to heart today, all that the Lord says to you this morning, you see what it is to go through this little while, that is the now on life on this side of glory. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that Jesus shows you, that he shows his disciples, and that he preaches to you today, this Jubilate Sunday. There is great reason to rejoice. There's great reason to shout for joy all the earth, because Jesus is risen from the dead. Your Lord is still here. He's with you, and he has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We'll hear more about the work of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks as it leads us up to Pentecost. But know this today, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Paraclete. Not a parakeet, that's a bird, Paraclete. And it's often translated as comforter or helper. This word, though, Paraclete, has some connections to the Greek word for call, kaleo, and with it a preposition, para, meaning alongside, parakaleo. So as you see, you go through this life, this little while, the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit. And what he does is he comes alongside you. He's with you. He encourages you. He admonishes you. He comforts you. He helps you. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and his work, and he hands it over to you through the means of grace. And so he, through his word, turns your sorrow into joy, even now. And the thing about the joy that God gives you, it's more than a feeling. It's more than just something that's fleeting. It's joy in the midst of sorrow. And it's a joy that cannot be taken away. So there is joy. There's rejoicing as the Holy Spirit has called you to faith, as he has gathered you together as the church. And that's another wonderful thing what Jesus teaches you today about the joy that you have in him who is the resurrection and the life. In this now of the little while, you're not alone. You're the church. And as God's people, you don't endure this little while by yourself, but you do so together as the people who have been called out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. And so you encourage one another in the body of Christ with the words of Jesus. You build one another up. You speak well of one another. You serve the Lord together. You bear one another's burdens together. You weep together. You rejoice together. You share the joy of Easter today, and you share in the eternal joy of salvation. One of the wonderful things I love as a pastor that I get to do is I get to sit in front of everybody when you're singing. And sometimes I like to just stop singing and listen. And when you think about this and you look around you right now, you look around and see who's sitting next to you, who's sitting in front of you, who's sitting behind you. You know that even though that you see these people for a little while this morning, and a little longer because of the bell, for a number of years, for even a lifetime, however long that little while will be, the thing about being the church is that you will see them again. And you will see each other forever. Because together you belong to the Lord who forgives you, who has redeemed you, who has called you his own, who tells you, promises you, not might, not may, but you will raise up from the grave on the last day. And you will live in the new heavens and the new earth that he prepares for you to dwell with him and all of the saints. And that's why we shout for joy, all the earth, alleluia, sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise. It is a great and joyous morning as the people of God. It's the Easter season. Jesus is risen from the dead, and you have eternal life. So you, the church, sing, pray, and keep his ways. You rejoice in the Lord today with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You rejoice even as you have sorrow now, because you know something. You know Jesus, and that means everything. Because Jesus knows you, and you are his dear child. So take this all to heart this morning. Cling to your Lord who has won the day. He has died for your sin. He has overcome the world. He has crushed the head of the serpent. He has destroyed death. And as that hymn beautifully said, his enemies lay vanquished all around. He's done this. And he's done it for you. And this is what you have every day. Every day the Lord grants you in this world, you begin and end each day as a baptized child of God. So day by day, come what may, your Lord will guard you, your Lord will keep you, your Lord will be with you along the way. And even if today is your last day in this world, even if this little while is even shorter and you do not see even the sunset on this day, your Lord is still risen from the dead, and you belong to him. So cling to Jesus, who is the Lord and giver of life. Cling to him as you hear his word and keep it. Cling to him as you receive his body and blood given and shed for you for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Cling to him as you go from this place, washed clean in the baptismal waters as a child of God who has an eternal joy, who is a part of his bride, the church, and has that joy that no one can take away from you because you belong to Jesus. So shout for joy to God, all the earth, alleluia, sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.